What's going on, Austin, Texas, Central Texas, worldwide? It's your man, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, Mr. Real Life and Real Talk. It is an honor and an amazing privilege. Yo, thank you so very much for rocking with us this Saturday. Come to this show. You're going to walk out of it better than the way that you walked in. We are going to grow, and it's going to be dynamic. You know all the deal, ladies and gentlemen. I have a smile on my face. Energy to waste. And if you're looking for inspiration, unity, and community, watch this. Watch this. It is guaranteed that you are in the right place. And so it is a great day today. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody didn't wake up this morning, but we did. We are the lucky ones. We are the blessed ones. So what will we do with our opportunity? I'll tell you what we will do. Yo, let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. Text us in 512-337-3776. This is a show for the people. Let us know what you're thinking about it. Send us in your text messages. Let us know how you feel. You can reach me social media wise at TCSpeaks32. Or send me an email, Tyler@TCSpeaks.com. This show is very much a show for the people. We are not where we are here with John in the studio tweaking and twisting the dials. We are not having a show. We are not reaching people without you all listening in. So from the bottom of my heart, to the depths of my soul, I tell everybody, Real Life, Real Talk Nation, stand up. Yo, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. And I'm so excited. I'm so enthused. We have an amazing, amazing dynamic man who's in the studio today. I was on the horn earlier on Thursday talking about this gentleman, a lifetime Longhorn, just has an amazing spirit, a gentle spirit, a man with true wisdom, knowledge about what he wants to accomplish and where he is going through life, a tremendous family man, a tremendous teammate, a tremendous ambassador for the entire University of Texas, somebody who really exemplifies what it is that you would look for in a son, what you would look for in a husband, in a father. And I'm so honored to have him on this show. And I think his name, once I tell you, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that, man. You know what I'm saying? There's very few people, especially in and around this area, that you can say that about. But I think his story will transcend. His story will uplift. His story will encourage. His story will talk about what it is like to have your back up against the wall, what it is like to have a dream, what it is like to be different but still be comfortable in the way that you want to live and walk in your life, about how important family is, what a father means to a young boy growing up, what a mother means having, you know, to a young person growing up. And it will cause you to be made better. Y'all know how I do it, yo. We don't bring in no slouches into this show. Whenever I have a guest, it's somebody who is about something and somebody who has food for thought and will plant seeds in the soil so that, watch this, one day they can be watered and sprouted to grow. And ladies and gentlemen, I promise, Real Life, Real Talk today, you will grow by the seeds he's going to plant through his words today. All right, Big John, if you can cue that TC Speaks, I'm going to give y'all the name of this gentleman, and we're going to rock and roll, all right? John, go ahead, cue that TC Speaks for me right here and right now. Good, good. Let's get into it then. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor to introduce Super, a.k.a. There's a story behind that, ladies and gentlemen. A.K.A. Hodges Mitchell. How you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good, man. You messed my name up.
Oh, I did. I forgot it. Go ahead and correct me.
Hodges Mitchell II.
We talked about that. Hodges Mitchell II, ladies and gentlemen. And he's going to dive in deep as to why I messed up and did not label that second. Why many of us as fans of his work, we didn't label him as second, and we should have. For the people who don't know as much about Texas background, don't know as much about sports background, don't know as much about UT background,
yes, sir.
Man, Hodges Mitchell is a name on names as far as great running backs who came through the University of Texas. You know, it brings me great delight because when I got on the show this week, Hodges, and I told people you were coming on, people were like, man, I remember that guy. You know, yes, I mean, so, man, how have you been? How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real good. You know, I got a wonderful wife at home, Tonette. She is phenomenal. And then I have a son, Hodges Mitchell III, which is going to be, he's going to be a game changer, y'all.
Yeah, man.
This kid is so special, man. My dad prophesied about him before he was even born.
Wow.
He always told me that I was going to have a son and that he was going to be better, a better man than me, and he was going to be a better dad than my dad was. So, talking about that, I want to be an example for him, right?
Say that.
Everything that I do, everything that I say, my son is watching me.
Yeah, man.
He's watching everything, and I'm the best example of a man that he'll get. And if I don't follow through what I'm supposed to do, or if I don't follow through with my word, my son is going to follow that example, and that's not the type of example I want to set. I want to show my son that you can overcome adversity, you can deal with tests, you can deal with trials, and they come to make you stronger, but they really come so that somebody else can watch you go through it and encourage them so that they can make it through it as well.
Say that, man. So there's a lot to be learned from that adversity, you know, and that's a big thing on what I try to encourage people within the show.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't feel good when you are going through these trials and these tribulations.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, there's a growth that is taking place in that man, that woman, that child that is forced to go through this go-through.
Yes,
and
sir.
That's kind of the stuff that you're talking about right here and right now.
Yeah, man, you know, because, you know, there's a part of you that doesn't want to go through that adversity because you know it's going to hurt when you go through it. But there's also the other part of you that says, if I can make it through this, it's going to be better on the other end.
Say that.
My dad has a saying, and it's stuck with me my whole life. And y'all going to hear me mention my mom and my dad a lot because they influence everything that I do. My dad used to tell me, suck it up.
Oh.
He used to tell me to suck it up because he, if I would get hurt or something, he would say, can you move it? Yes. Does it hurt? Yes. Can you keep going? Yes. And suck it up and let's keep going.
Let's go.
Because that's part of life is, right? Life is going to throw punches at you that you didn't see coming. Life is going to throw punches at you that you did see coming, that you're not ready to take or you're equipped to handle. But life is going to give you some chances to grow from that adversity if you take them.
If you're willing. If you're willing to be.
If you're willing to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a friend, his name is Brent Reeves in Dallas, man. He talks to me all the time, and my guy always tells me there's no such things as mistakes in life. There's no such things as getting things wrong. I said, why do you say that? He said, it's not getting wrong, and it's not a mistake if you learn from it. Mm. All it was a learning experience. That's all. And that's what this life thing is about, right? Learning experiences.
Learning experience.
And learning from people around you. And then most of all, when you learn from them people, you learn stuff about yourself that you didn't even know.
I love it, Hodge. I love it, Hodge. I'm telling y'all listening, this is Hodges Mitchell, 104.9 The Horn FM, former UT running back, but far bigger than that, just an amazing husband. Don't let the stature fool you. Amazing husband, amazing father, amazing person, amazing friend. This gentleman right here has a big heart. And that's why he's on this show. That's why we can speak so openly about adversity. That's why he's got nuggets for you all to take away from the show today. But for the folks who don't know.
Yes, sir.
The folks who don't know, because
yes,
we do. We have, and you have generational people who listen in, young kids who don't know as much about Super. Let's start there.
Okay.
Let's take us back. Take us back to South Dallas.
Okay.
Take us back to Oak Cliff.
Yeah.
Take us back to Hodges Mitchell II.
Yes, sir.
And talk about what that family life was like for you. You talked about your mother. You talked about your father early on.
Yep.
Give us the childhood rundown, because there are things that took place for you that got you to sports in general. But it started with great home life.
Yeah. So growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, it's mostly a black community, right? And I'm not going to say that there wasn't trials and tribulations in our community, because we had drug houses and things around us like that. But I had a really good upbringing. And the reason why I had that, because I had a mother and I had a father, which is incredibly important for a child to have to be successful in his life. I couldn't have made it and been where I am with just my dad raising me. I couldn't have made it and been where I am with just my mom raising me. I needed my mom and my dad, and I need my brother and my sister as well, because we needed each other as a family, because We didn't do anything on our own. Everything that we did was together. Everything we did was for each other, right? All I know in my life is being on a team. And I think the number one team that teaches you anything is your family. My mom and my dad set the example for me. My mom did not play when it came to books. She did not play when it came to business. My dad did not play about treating people the right way.
Right.
And I use all three of those things on a daily basis. My mom was like, you take care of your business, then you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. My mom would always tell me, don't mess up my name.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess up my name.
Last name. Don't you do it.
Because when somebody hears my name and you're attached to my name, that says something about me. And what my mom and my dad did for me is, because of their name, doors are open for me that I didn't even know existed because of their name.
Love it.
I want the same thing for my son. When somebody says Hodges Mitchell III, the first thing I want them to think about is, it's not a lot of people that got the first name Hodges.
That's it.
Most of them say Mitchell Hodges. Is your dad the name Hodges Mitchell? Yes, sir, it is. You come from good stock.
Ah, let's go.
You come from good stock.
Let's go.
Your mama Toinette Mitchell? Yes, sir. You come on in. Let me take care of you.
Let me take care of you.
I know your mom and dad didn't play.
That's it.
I just want to open doors for my son and give him opportunities to be successful. That's all. And I want him to be a light for other people. That's what we're here for in the end of the day anyway. We talk about all the hard stuff that goes on in the world. And that's part of we're living in this world. There is difficult things that we deal with. But we are a light. God has blessed us with this light to be a light on the tower, right?
Yeah.
So that when somebody's struggling or needs some help and they need some light, they look to you. Hey, I can help you. I can help you. I can be that light in the darkness for you.
And that's huge because everybody, you know, we get in that hustle, right? Everybody wants to talk about grinding and wants to talk about, you know, I got to do this. I got to do that. There's something to be said about being a blessing.
Yes, sir.
To somebody else, helping somebody else. And there's a level of fulfillment and joy that comes from that.
Yes, sir.
That if people would just try it. I say just try it. Yep. Try to help somebody today.
Yep.
And you will be blown away about the amount of love, joy that you feel in your spirit. Those are the things that your parents are talking about to you.
Yes.
And so that's where it all starts.
Yes.
It starts there. But you said something special to me when you came to me, because your father, a lot of people don't know that story. But your father himself was a Division I college football player.
Yes, sir. He, Hodges Mitchell, the original Hodges Mitchell.
The original Hodges Mitchell.
He played football at South Oak Cliff in the late 60s, 68, 69. And he was an all-state running back as well.
Wow.
So he ended up getting a football scholarship to go to TCU, Texas Christian University. He ended up being moved to free safety.
Okay.
So he played there at TCU, had a really good first year at TCU, and then he decided to transfer due to some adversity and some trials and tribulations he had dealt with at TCU, and he made the best decision for himself to transfer to Florida State. And when he transferred to Florida State, he ended up getting moved back to running back. He runs into Mac Brown.
Mac Brown, ladies and gentlemen, Mac Brown. Now, tell him he took Mac Brown's spot. God dog.
So Mac came in. He was a running back as well.
Wow.
All right. But when my dad came in,
when the Hodges Mitchell came in, y'all. Tell him.
The story is Mac moved to fullback and my dad moved to running back, which was his natural position. And so a lot of people didn't know that because when Mac Brown came to Texas, nobody had a clue that him and my dad played together at Florida State.
Wow, man. My goodness.
And my dad used to talk about Mac all the time when I was getting recruited, and he talked about him so much. I'm like, man, I got to meet this guy. Who is this Mac Brown? And he talked about him so much that I thought he was black.
Oh, hey, if the name could pass. If you're thinking Mac Brown, that's –
I thought Mac Brown was black, and then I take my recruiting visit to North Carolina, and he says, hey, I'm Mac Brown. And I shook his hand. I'm like, man, Coach Brown, you white. I didn't know.
Damn.
I didn't know. But everything that he said about Coach Brown as a man was right.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned in. We have real life, real talk with the super a.k.a. Hodges Mitchell II. I want to do it right because I messed up. I messed up the kingsmanship of his name. And y'all tune in, tell a friend to tell a friend, because I think you're about to learn some things about this amazing man that you never knew before. We'll catch you on the other side of this break. Hey, we're back on the horn, live and direct, real life and real talk. My man Hodges Mitchell and I are kicking it in. Lifetime Longhorn, one of the great running backs to play at the University of Texas. An amazing man with a big heart. And he and I are laughing and joking because Chad Hastings, other radio show host during the week, came in here and he has his A&M ring on.
Yeah.
Hodges, that touched you a different way. I'm hearing that.
Yeah, I can tell you what. Let me tell you something, man.
Tell me something.
I feel some type of way.
Yes.
About that, man. Because I'm a Longhorn, man. And if you can't tell, I bleed this orange. You understand me? If you cut me open, that stuff is going to be burnt orange all over the place. And Chad, you know, he coming here, he talking to, he cool, Chad cool, but he got on the wrong ring.
He got on the wrong ring. I was like, man, look at that, look at this ring.
Hey, man, it's Longhorn country, you understand?
Hey, listen, we are rocking and rolling, man. And Hodges Mitchell, a native Texan, just an amazing man, an amazing story, a true great ambassador from the University of Texas. And we kind of walked through the first segment, Hodges Mitchell II here, how he got the name Super. Why he is just an amazing person, given the fact that his mother and his father raised him right, gave him nuggets along the way of being the best possible man that he can be, and how his spirit is led and really allowing his heart to lead him in places. And so what I want to get into now, Hodges, is we talked about that and we got people ushered in and getting to know. Let's pick up on that second part of your life.
Okay.
And sports starts to really come into play for you at an early, early age. So
yeah.
What did sports look like for Hodges Mitchell growing up, and what did sports mean to you overall? Go ahead.
Well, since you opened up this soccer door, man.
Yes, I got it. The soccer!
You opened up this
the
soccer
football.
Door. Yes.
Football.
The real football.
The real football, baby.
My dad worked in Park and Rec for a long time, right? So he was around sports all the time. We spent a lot of time at recreation centers. Mm-hmm. And it was this lady, older lady, her name was Miss Lowe. I'll never forget her. She approached my dad about saying, hey, you ever had thought about your kids playing soccer? He's like, no, you ought to give them a chance, though, because a lot of little black kids don't play soccer. It's like, give them a chance to let them play.
Right.
So I'm 3 years old. I'm 3 years old at the time, and they take me out there, and I go play for the Stingrays, right? I play for the Stingrays, black and white, black and a red soccer team, right? So I'm a three-year-old playing with all these 6- and 7-year-olds, and I end up playing goalie. And if my mom was listening, she's going to laugh about this, because when I was playing goalie, one of my teeth got knocked out.
At three.
God,
dog. How? You could have picked a different sport. You think your teeth going to get knocked out in football?
Hey, nah, man. It was soccer, man. So my tooth got knocked out. I spit it out. I took it to my mom, and she freaked out. And she was like, oh, no, my son can't play sports anymore.
Oh.
So she took me away from soccer for like one season, but took me back because nobody else wanted to play goalie. I wasn't afraid to compete.
They like Super Dumb left. We ain't got no goalie. God, dog.
But soccer for me is my number one love sports-wise, man. Mm. I played soccer from the age of 3 all the way to 17 years old. And I had some real opportunities in soccer growing up as a kid. The team that I played with was Juventus.
Yes,
they call them Juventus, but from where I come from at Oak Cliff, we call them the Juventus.
The Juventus.
So the team overseas in Italy, Juventus have the black and white stripes.
Yes.
The Juventus, we have the blue and white stripes, right?
All right.
And what made us special, we were a team from Oak Cliff Soccer Association, but we were all, our whole team was black and Hispanics. That's
yeah.
it. The fields that we played on had a lot of dirt and a lot of rocks, but we had this guy that coached us. And he is nothing against Coach Brown or any coach I've ever had in my life. This is the one coach that I learned everything from, the foundation of why I operated the way I did
when
I played sports. And his name was Coach Jesus Vargas.
Okay, Coach Vargas. Okay.
Jesus Vargas, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he gave me an opportunity, me and my brother, to play soccer on his team, right? And I'm not going to lie, I could play. I was good. And my brother was good, too, but I had some other opportunities that my brother didn't have. And I got some exposure, and I was on some all-state teams, North Texas Soccer Association state team, Region 3 soccer team for people that don't know about that.
I was going to say, break that down a little bit because a lot of people may not know.
So the North Texas state soccer team is made up of all of the associations under that North Texas umbrella, right? So from that, you go through a district process, and this is how it used to be in the past, where you go through a district process, you try for the district team in your particular region. Ours was a southern region.
Mm-hmm.
They pick the top 18 players. Those top 18 players, they go and play against another district within that North Texas region, and out of probably 200 or so players, they pick probably 36 to be part of the North Texas state team. And when we were playing with the North Texas state team, you had an A team and a B team. So you had the A team that was the top 18 players, and the B team was the lower 18 players, right? So with that North Texas soccer team, that's when my real soccer exposure and learning was accelerated with my coach named Tom Durkin. He taught me the real fundamentals of the real football and how I can get better in advance. And I was so good at it that I was chosen for the Region 3 Olympic Developmental Program.
Wow.
I'm chosen for that team. So out of that group, you have the state of Alabama, you have the state of Florida, Georgia, Louisiana. So they picked the top 18 players from that group to go play for the regional team. So, and I was really good with the regional team as well, and that's when some of my exposure to the U.S. national team started to happened, and I was probably 12 or 13 at the time.
Still young.
I was really, really young.
Let me rewind back this, because you said something key. I want y'all to listen to this. And so Hodges said, his soccer started to accelerate. Can you take me back? Because people need to know this. I tell people all the time, you know, I played football, right? And also I noticed that when the crossover for speaking came,
yes,
Hodges,
sir,
it was like it clicked in a way to me that I always hoped football would click,
yes, sir,
meaning that I can see some words one time, I can interpret a 20-minute speech off of it.
Yes, sir.
Naturally letting it flow.
Yes, sir.
Being able to reach a crowd or reach a Zoom in a different level and magnitude to pick people's attention up right away. And
yes, sir.
And it almost seems effortless. Mm-hmm. I never got that with football.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want people to know, you're able to tell at an early age in your life that something is clicking for you for soccer, where you're getting footwork, or you're getting accuracy, or you're getting speed, or you're getting defending.
Yep.
It's coming to you very naturally, in a way that it's not hitting other kids
mm-hmm.
the same way, and you're starting to see that.
No, soccer was second nature for me, really.
Okay.
Football is something I was good at because of my bloodlines and athleticism I was blessed with, and I picked up and learned how to play football, but soccer was always second nature to me. And the reason why soccer was second nature to me is because I played other sports outside of soccer.
Tell the parents about that, man.
Because I as a kid, the first sport I played was soccer.
Yeah.
Then the next sport I played was tennis.
Let's go.
I just was
out there on the tennis court.
I love tennis.
Man.
I love tennis.
Hodges, you did it all.
I did tennis. So I was a city champ in Dallas playing tennis. But I had to give tennis up when I was like 15 or 16.
Come on, Super.
Because I had other things pulling at me. I had the national junior coaches ask me, hey, can you commit more time to tennis? And I said, I can't, because at this time I'm running track and I'm playing football and I'm still playing soccer. So I got 3-4 different sports going on at the same time. So I had to figure out which one I wanted to.
Were your parents able to comfort you in that? Because I have to imagine there's a lot of tug and war for you. You are a gentle spirit.
Yes, sir.
You want to please and help other people. You,
yes, sir.
You want to. You don't want to be the black mark on anybody. You want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to imagine your spirit. Was that hard to have to kind of decide to like weed sports out, or make a decision to drop something, or was tennis something? What was your mindset?
It was challenging for me to do that, because I started to see my potential in tennis as well, and how it was making me a good one-on-one player, right? But everything that I did my whole life, which made my decision easier to walk away from tennis, was in a team atmosphere.
And you're missing that with tennis.
I wasn't getting that in tennis, right?
Got you. Okay.
So I was able to say, hey, I'm gonna deal with track, I'm gonna deal with football and I'm going to deal with soccer.
But that's good, though, because I think people, a lot of times we search for answers in other people. Mm-hmm. But if you can look within yourself and you understand the things, the values, the things that make you happy.
Right.
Well, Hodges Mitchell II is saying with us right now is he missed team. Mm-hmm. Team was very important to him. So mm-hmm. when it came time to make a big decision.
Yeah.
You were able to make it at your age. And a lot of times I think people go looking exterior for other answers. Mm-hmm. The answer is within. It comes down to what are the things that make you happy? What yep. are the things that make you whole?
Yep.
And you follow that.
Yeah.
And you followed that.
I followed that. And,
wow.
You know, it was instilled for me, my parents, when I was younger, you know, there's nothing that you're accomplishing in your life on your own. Everything that you're accomplishing in your life is with the assistance of someone else.
Someone else. Good.
And, you know, that's the definition of team for me. Parents, I'm going to speak directly to y'all. Don't allow your kid to zero in on one sport unless that's what they choose to do at a young age. I recommend that any child play as many sports as they possibly can until they find out what their passion is. Then once they find out what their passion is, then you throw yourself behind them 150% to support them. Because mm-hmm. what I don't like right now, what happens now is kids get pegged into this box, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you say, well, you're going to do football 12 months out of the year. But what if I want to go play basketball? What if I want to go run track? What if I want to go play soccer, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you could get a coach that frowns upon you because they think you don't take it as serious because you don't play other sports. And it's not that. You just have other passions in other places because you play with multiple teams. You want to have a positive effect on the multiple teams that you play with. Right?
Yeah. And that's real. I like that. I like that, man. So you I just mentioned you're somebody who plays multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about, obviously, with the exposure starting to get bigger and bigger.
Yes, sir.
That name Pele.
Oh, boy.
How in the world? Because that's not just anybody.
That's,
and for those people who don't know, Pele is responsible for changing the game of soccer and making it a world phenomenon in his time, his tenure of the 70s.
Yes, sir.
The Brazilian culture, they changed with their flashiness of how they played the game of football.
Yes, sir.
Was a phenomenon. It was foreign. It wasn't accepted by the outside world.
Yes,
with
sir.
The feet work, with the tricks, with the level of way they were able to pick up each other's dribbles as a team.
Yes,
it was
sir.
Like they spoke their own language
they
with
did.
Their feet.
Yeah.
Somebody like that for Pele, greatest soccer players of all time, for you all to connect in that way, what did that mean to you at that age?
So I was no more than probably 13, 14, 15 at the time. And I had the opportunity to meet Pele. I went to go do a photo shoot with him. And my soccer coach at the time, my district soccer coach, was named Doc Lawson, who played for the Dallas Sidekicks, which people don't know, indoor soccer was huge.
Indoor soccer
and
was
Doc
huge.
Doc Lawson was.
You could see it on TV.
Yes.
And I watched it on TV.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir. Indoor soccer
go
was
ahead.
Huge. And he was a big time defender with them. But he ended up, what he ended up doing is coached our district team. And he thought so much of me as a soccer player. He was like, hey, you know what? I got somebody I want you to meet.
Wow.
So he took me to meet. He took me to meet Pele. And I remember doing like a quick photo shoot with him, holding a check for a donation for somebody. And then after that, he said, hey, I want to take you in the back room because Pele wants to sit down and talk to you and your mom. So I talked with Pele and he said, hey, your coach really believes in you and I trust your coach. So, I want to take you to Brazil for a couple of years and I want to train you. And then I want to send you back to the United States. And by the time I'm done with you, you'll be ready for the United States national team as a 17-year-old.
Oh, my God. Got my man Hodges Mitchell II, a.k.a. Mr. Super, the pride of South Dallas here. He ends up going to the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the journey that we're going to start getting into. Tell a friend to tell a friend on the other side of this break. And he's got truly something special. There's more to the journey. And we'll walk in that on the other side of this break. Thank you. Take us out, Big John. Second playlist rocking for us today. Beatboxing by Hodges Mitchell II. He is responsible for the bumper music. He told me the music he wanted. But man, this is real life and real talk. Tyler Campbell, aka TC Speaks, got my man Hodges Mitchell II, lifetime Longhorn, amazing father, husband, friend, and teammate in the studio today. And we've walked through Hodges' life. And now we're at the University of Texas, Super. Yep. We at the University of Texas now. You come in, loaded backfield. Mm-hmm. Ricky Williams is there. Your Mack Brown, who ends up becoming your head coach anyway, even though you don't go to North Carolina.
Yep.
And you shared this with me, very powerful statement, man. You came in to compete. You know, you didn't care that it was going to be a loaded background. You believed in yourself and had a right to that pigskin just as much as anybody.
No question.
Speak confidence in it, and that's what most people need to stand on. You have a gift, which you talked about, a superpower. You stand on that superpower. And Ricky Williams ends up coming back for his senior year, and he told me that that allowed you to develop mentally a little bit more.
It did, man. Let me tell you this quick story. I was sitting in the parking lot at Dallas Skyline High School when I heard over the radio that Ricky Williams was coming back for his senior year. So my first initial thought was like, dang, Ricky, man, it's my time to play. But then this calm came over me, was like, just be patient. He's getting you more time to prepare you because you're not ready yet.
Wow.
And I understood what that voice was telling me. Mm-hmm. That was God telling me I wasn't ready. And Ricky coming back for his senior year saved my football career at the University of Texas, man.
Wow.
It really did. Because mentally I wasn't ready for what that burden was. I wasn't ready for what that meant to be the running back at the University of Texas, because the University of Texas is the flagship school of the state of Texas. And the state of Texas is known for producing running backs, number one, and quarterbacks. And I was the running back at the University of Texas, but I wasn't ready. Ricky prepared me for that. I told Ricky, man, you're going to have to share some of these carries, man.
Yeah, you did.
I told him, I said, hey, man, I'm here to compete. I'm not afraid, but you're going to have to give me some of these carries. And Ricky was like, come on, let's go. Let's compete. Yeah. And when I showed an opportunity that I was able to play and perform, Ricky said, man, I'll block for you. And that spoke volumes by Ricky's character, man, because he was about the team. And don't get me wrong, Ricky Williams was all that in a bag of chips, y'all. Ricky was a football savant. But I learned so much from him because he just understood how to get things done on the football field, but also preparing us for the next wave that was coming so that we would be good representation of the University of Texas.
Now, that's powerful, man. And I think it says a lot about you. I don't want you to leave this out, because that voice in your head, that – to understand your where you are maturity wise to receive that, because a lot of people would say you have to take the back seat a little bit longer, and they mad, i.e. they want to transfer.
Absolutely.
A lot of times now generation, when it don't work the way that you envisioned.
Yes, sir.
What you saying is you stayed planted.
I
where
did.
You were, you stayed committed.
I stayed committed. I did. And it wasn't easy.
No,
it wasn't easy, but I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? And then the tests and trials that I had been through in my life prepared me for that. And then when my opportunity came, I ran with it, but I struggled at first. I struggled. I had some hard conversations with Coach Brown, and I had some hard conversations with Greg Davis. They told me, like, hey, we'll give you one more game, but you're not producing. If you don't produce, we got to play a younger guy. So that caused me to focus in that much more on my craft and zero in and block out all the noise and do what I came here today.
Hodges Mitchell had to constantly work to develop himself.
No question,
you're
man.
Yeah.
No question, man. There was no time to run.
None.
There was no time to shuck and dismiss the adversity, man. I surrounded myself with people that wouldn't, like I said before, that wouldn't let me quit, man. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about the people you need to surround yourself
with. Go ahead.
Man. You need to surround yourself with people that love you in spite of your flaws.
Come on.
Surround yourself with people that love you so much that they would be honest with you and hold you accountable.
Let's go.
Surround yourself with people that love you so much that they will help you when you fall. That they love you so much that they'll stand for you. Now, that's a whole lot of people that'll say they'll stand, but when that adversity, that fire comes, they take off running.
Ain't nowhere to be found, Hodges. You
surround yourself with some people that'll stand with you. And then finally, surround yourself with people that's going to encourage you. Because every superhero needs some encouragement.
Come on.
Man.
Even Batman had Robin.
You know what I'm saying? You
Alfred,
need that encouragement.
Come on.
You need somebody to whisper in your ear to just say, hey, remember who you are.
Man, Hodges.
You know what I'm saying?
Hodges
now y'all got me fired up. You know?
Listen, Hodges
just remember
came and
who
took
you
my
are.
And so that's and so you talked about that, okay? So you get yourself in the right mold. You got yourself in the right gear. Your mindset was right. You're taking care of business on and off.
Right.
Your senior season.
Yes, sir.
Major Applewhite quarterback, right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all go to the Holiday Bowl. Y'all traveling to the West Coast, back to San Diego, where I went to school.
Your neck of the woods, San Diego State, Aztec.
So all you got to do is get out. We get ready for the NFL.
Yes, sir.
You close with a W, get to the NFL.
Yes, sir.
You end up having?
Right knee injury, man.
Right knee injury.
I just received my letter to go to the NFL Combine, y'all. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm a small running back. I'm finna show these boys what they're missing.
Yeah.
I got an opportunity here.
Show the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to show them that a small running back can be productive in the NFL, right? So the play, I'll never forget it, man. It was R-19. R-19 is it's a strong formation, but it's a toss to the weak side
to the nine. And if you know the nine, that's all the way outside, huh?
And it was. Go. So at the time, the quarterback was Chris Sims, right? And I think my fullback was either Matt Trissel. I think it was a fullback at the time. It was him or Chad Stevens, but I think it was Matt Trissel. And I saw the cornerback kind of cheating up. His name was Rashad Bowman. And I saw him cheating up like he was coming on the corner blitz. So we saw that, and we're yelling to say, change the play.
Audible.
Change the play to opposite. A strong side play to take him out of this play. And when it didn't happen, we ran the R-19 play anyway. And this has happened to me before. I catch a toss, and my foot, it will get stuck in the ground, but I can kind of slide away to keep them off my legs. But this time, I stuck my foot in the ground, and it got stuck, and my leg locked out, and instantaneously, the cornerback hit my knee at the same time. And I blew out my ACL, MCL, LCL, cartilage, meniscus. I wrecked my whole right knee. And so in a matter of moments, it was gone.
Just like that, man.
Yeah.
So your life is totally changed.
Yes, sir.
But you end up you do graduate with your degree.
Yes, sir.
And I can't imagine knowing the model of man that you are.
Yes, sir.
You are still able to pick up the pieces when life falls apart in your life.
It wasn't easy. I'm not going to tell you, man. It wasn't easy. I went through a dark place after I got hurt, right? Everybody that said they were going to be there for you, like I said before, were nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. And the only people that were there were my parents and my brother and my sister. And this one guy, his name is Greg Dykeman, who was an athletic trainer in Dallas. And I got to mention this guy because he pulled me out of a dark place. And he took me in. He taught me how to rehab after I had my knee surgery, man. Mm-hmm. And the trainers at University of Texas were awesome. But when I was at home, I was rehabbing with him because I knew he cared about me. He cared about me, and he wanted to help me. And even still getting opportunities to go and work out for a few NFL teams, Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos, I knew right then and there that I wanted to go ahead and start my professional career so I can learn how to be successful outside of football.
Yeah.
I always told myself, and I really understand it now, you know, that I was sent here to show people, to show young men that you can be successful outside of professional sports.
That's good, Haji.
Because a lot of them think that that's the be-all, end-all. And for the guys that do make it, man, that's 100% for you, man, because I wanted to be one that make it.
Mm-hmm.
But the facts and the numbers say that everybody's not going to make it.
Yeah, everybody will. So you got to prepare for that.
And I was prepared for it. My mom and my dad prepared me for that, right? They said, you go to school to get your degree. They always told me school is number one. Sports is number two.
Now, that's good. That's good. And so I want you to close out with this. Give us the light, because you got blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You got blessed with the woman of your life.
Yeah.
You got blessed with child.
Yeah.
But there's also a poem.
Oh, man.
And so I want you to close this thing out. Tell us about the love of your life.
Yeah.
Because Hodges Mitchell II did rebound.
Yeah.
And close us out with that poem.
Let me tell you something, man. I met my wife at church. And Inspiring Body of Christ Church in Dallas, Texas, Pastor Ricky Rush. I met my wife, man, and my wife had this light. Y'all understand? She had this bright light around her like she was an angel. And I always told myself that if I got an opportunity to shoot my shot, like the kids say, at her, I was going to shoot my shot. And I shot my shot, and I ended up with her, man. That woman has been through me through thick and thin. I remember Pastor T.D. Jakes said something about when you thinking about who you want to marry, you want somebody there that you can hold their hand and that's going to hold you up when you got to bury your mom and your dad.
Say that.
Wow.
And when my dad died, my wife was going through some physical stuff, man. She couldn't hardly walk. She couldn't hardly move. And I remember getting out of the limo to walk up the steps to go to my dad's funeral. And I knew my wife wasn't going to be able to make it. And I looked in the corner of my eye, and I see my wife running down the street.
Wow, man.
Just so she could be there to hold my hand through that rough time, man.
That's all right, man. I can feel it on your voice. I know it's tough.
My wife is the strongest person I know. And I wouldn't be the husband I am, or the father I am, without Tonette Mitchell, man. And she has given me a phenomenal son. And we're going to pour everything that we have into him to make sure that he has every opportunity to be a game changer in this world.
Now, Antoinette, she has her own podcast. And
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
She does her own
podcast, man. It's called At the Family Table Podcast. Yeah. She started it in January. This is what she wants to do full time, and I'm 100% behind her, man. And it's about self-help and about coaching and helping families get through testing trials, and it's about counseling, right? And this podcast is going to give you some real talk about how to get through what you're going through.
Love it, man.
And to keep pressing and letting you know that you got a support system in your life, man. And you can find it on Lisbon, Google Podcast, Spotify, or Apple Podcast.
Hey, that's what it's about, bro. And y'all tune in to this show. I know I'm going to start tuning in because I never know. And if you speak to her, she's not going to tell you that she has one, by the way.
No,
she's so humble. She's not going to tell you that. But I'm going to tune in. I encourage our Real Life Real Talk Nation to tune in. And give us a close right now, because I want y'all. Thank you for being so transparent.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being humble. Thank you for being willing to share your heart today.
Yes, sir.
So you close this thing out. I know you have a couple of ideas.
Yeah.
You close this show out from the legendary, the great, the super, Hodges Mitchell II.
Well,
close us out, sir.
Let me tell y'all something. It's not about you. It's always about somebody else, right? And you think about the people that came before you that set the table for you. So I encourage each one of you to set the table for the next generation so that they can be a light and a positive example for the ones to come. There's this poem that I say to myself every morning, and so it helps me to deal with anything that may come my way, and it's called Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, but you want to smile, but you have to sigh.
Take your time, bro. Take your time. You've been through a lot. That's what's about real life and real talk.
Rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when it might have won had it just stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Don't quit. Stand up. Be accountable. And don't quit.
Wisdom. Mic drop from the legendary. The legendary. Hodges Mitchell II. Love you, my brother. And thank you for sharing your heart, man.
Man, I appreciate you, Tyler, man. Thanks for letting me get your name wrong, too.
Hey.
So we're even now. We're even.
Hey.
I can hit you with the Christian and you messed up my name. So we're even now, man.
Real Life Real Talk Nation, thank y'all so much. Y'all check out Hodges' wife and support the family. Rally behind them and take from this message. Grow, tell a friend to tell a friend. Hodges has a lot to give. And I know he's going to be a true ambassador for the community moving forward. He's just hitting his stride. Y'all take care. Have a blessed weekend. This is Real Life, Real Talk. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow.
Peace. Put your hands together.